come on up, Joe, and take a seat.
While we're getting, I'll give a little introduction to Mr. Joe Ackerman. He is a historian, he has been a Fulbright scholar in British Columbia, and he is the leading authority, the world's authority on Florida cattle ranching, cattle raising, as he likes to call it. He is the author of three books, The Florida Cowman, Jacob Summerlin, King of the Crackers, and the American Brahmin book. Have any of y'all heard of A Land Remembered, that book? Well, that book is based very heavily on Joe's work. He's, of course, good friends with Patrick Smith, and is, I don't think I'm going to steal Joe's thunder to say that Patrick Smith, the story is Patrick Smith says, this book is really great. You should make a novel out of it, a historical novel. And then Joe said, that's not my thing. I'm not a novel writer. So he said, you can use it, use anything you want from it. And Patrick Smith certainly took him seriously. And, you know, that book has sold, I think, millions of copies. So, Mr. Joe Ackerman.
Thank you, Bob.
From right here in Madison, Florida, right close by.
I appreciate y'all coming out, and I hope I can keep you awake. My name is Joe Ackerman. I'm originally from Central Florida. I left Orlando in 1948 when it was a nice little town. I'm a sort of an oxymoron. I'm a fifth-generation cracker, but I'm also a Republican. So, but a lot of people have jumped over to the Republicans lately. So this book that Bob mentioned, The History of the Florida Cattle Industry, actually was published in 1975. And we have five editions, nine printings. And the new edition is being bound today in Nashville, Tennessee. And the binder, his sewing machines broke down. So he promised us the other day that he would have these here in a month. So we'll see. This was actually published by the Florida Cattlemen Association. I said in 75, it seemed like yesterday. And one of the things they did, they use that as a bicentennial publication to honor the bicentennial, America's bicentennial. I wanted to just, I was going to read this, but I think I'll sort of wing it. I'm not as good at winging as I used to be. I'm 78 now, and I just don't wing as well as I used to. But I'll do my best. But anyway, the first cattle, I'm just going to give you a little history. I hope this you're not bored with history. But the first cattle, the first domestic cattle, were brought to Florida in 1521 by Ponce de Leon. Ponce de Leon was one of the oldest of the conquistadors, and he had come early in 1513. And then he came back in 1521 and landed near Charlotte Harbor, we think. He brought some 200 people with him. He brought about five head of cows and some sheep and hogs and so on. But those were the first cattle that actually, first domestic cattle that were in what we now call the United States. Now, they were raising cattle in Mexico by 1519, but in 1521, and these were Spanish cattle. They came from Andalusia, and they had been bred, and they had, through the years, through the really centuries, they had been bred. And these cattle were conditioned by all kinds of extremes, and they lasted very well. They did very well in Florida. They weren't normally as big as the beef back in Spain. But they almost died out. And the Florida Cracker Association, which is a new organization, got into the policy of trying to save these cattle, sometimes called Criolla cattle. And presently we have about 1,000 of these purebred cracker cattle. Now, these cattle have been compared. The serum tests were taken out in Iowa, and they are over 95% pure. If you went to Spain, went to Andalusia, you'd see the same cows. The same thing is true about the cracker horse. Well, the Spanish started cattle raising in Florida. The golden age of cattle raising was 1680. Excuse me a minute. I need a shot of gin here. This is really water.
Hey, Joe. While you're taking a pause, I want to shift you up forward just a little bit.
All right.
This next band is going to set up.
Oh, okay. It's hard to tell exactly how many cattle the Spanish had here, but by 1680, they had some 30 rancheros, or ranchos, and I don't know how many rancheros they had, but they had about 30 ranchos. This area where you and I sit was part of a cattle ranch, unfenced. They just roamed all over. The biggest cattle ranch was down at Payne's Prairie in Alachua, it was called. But in 1702 and 1704, the British invaded what was Spanish Florida, and they brought some 2,000 Creek Indians with them and some Oconee and Yanisei Indians. And they destroyed most of the missions that the Spanish had established, the doctrinas they're called, and they also they said they killed over 6,000 cattle, and then they took some back to South Carolina with them. Very, very tragic thing. But there were still plenty of wild cattle that roamed the woods through here, and they intermingled with the buffalo. And you may not know it, but the buffalo is native to Florida also. It's a smaller type of buffalo, but it's the same breed that you find in Wyoming or Montana, wherever. And the Seminole Indians, which were really part of the Creek Indian Nation, the Cow Creek Seminoles resurrected. Is this too loud or too low? Okay. They resurrected the cattle industry, and their largest operation was down on Payne's Prairie. When William Bartram came here in the 1700s, he was amazed to see all these cattle and these Indians working them by horse. And they had dogs. And the dogs, he said, looked very much like wolves. You know, wolves used to be very, very common in Florida. Digress a little bit here, but I interviewed about 50 people when I was working on this book. And one man I interviewed, and some of the old-timers might have heard of him, was Ab Wright. And he was 95 or so when I interviewed him. That was in 1975. And he said when he worked cattle out of Arcadia, which used to be Tater Hill Bluff, he used to see wolves. So it hadn't been that long since wolves were around. The British came to Florida in 1763. They were only here for 20 years, and they tried to introduce some of their British breeds. But they weren't too successful. Now, since we have improved pasture and fences and so on and can control the forage, of course, the British breeds like the Angus and the Devon and so on, they've been very successful. But one of the cows that has really revolutionized the Florida cattle industry. Anybody tell me what it is? The Brahman. And the Brahman is often called the crossbreeder's common denominator. If you have a little Brahman blood in your Hereford or your Angus or so on, the cattle are much stronger in terms of withstanding insects and withstanding the heat and so on. The first Brahman brought into Florida actually came here in 1857, but they didn't really become popular here until the early 1900s. The Likes brothers and the Partons were two groups. The Hendrys were very excited about these cattle, and they have really meant a lot to the Florida cowman. During the territorial days, beginning in 1821, a lot of Americans, a lot of pioneers, a lot of crackers came across the border into Florida. Actually, they'd been coming before 1821. They weren't supposed to, but they were coming before then. And one of the things they did was raise cattle. And over a period of time, they developed what we sometimes call cracker ranching. What is cracker ranching? Well, it's where there's several ways to define it. But in the beginning, these men, like John Collier, they were really herders, and they followed the herds around where the best grasses were. Interesting thing about John Collier, sort of reminds you of Abraham or Jacob in the Bible. He had three wives, all at the same time, had 18 children. So he was on the move, you know. But he had about 10,000 head of cattle in South Florida. One of the first real cattle kings was Jake Summerlin, who was... He was known as the King of the Crackers. He was born in 1821 over in what was called Alligator. My son and I did this book a couple of years ago, and it won the Best History Award by the Florida Historical Society. I have some of these if you're interested in looking at them. But I wanted to mention some of these... cattle kings or cattle barons. You know, we always associate cattle kings with the Wild West, but I'm just going to mention a few names, and I bet you most of you people can trace some of your ancestry, and there are many more, and I have many listed in this book. Jake Summerlin, by 1870, had over 20,000 head of cattle. Now, that's a big herd. They ranged over an area as large as Israel. That's the way cattle were, and the only way you keep up with them was to brand them and to crop the ear. Then there were other people like the Hendrys, the Hookers, the Parkers, the Tuckers, the Likes, the Knights. Lawrence Silas was an African American whose father was born in slavery. He became a cattle king. He's only been dead a few years. You also have the McKays, the Johnsons, the Hollingsworths, the Sloans, the Aldermans, the Tolls, the Hendersons, the Pierces, the Bronsons, the Colliers, and so on, and many more. Most of these people had at least 5,000 head of cattle. And most of the big ranches were down in Central and South Florida. And if you've been down there lately, you know what's happening. I grew up in Orlando, and when I left there, there were 40 lakes in town, and you could drink water out of all of them. And I wouldn't even get in one now. I wouldn't put my big toe in one now. So that's my assessment of Orlando. I was born there, raised there, grew up. I loved to bird hunt, and we used to cross Earl O. Bronson's fence, which was posted, and we'd hunt quail, and he would come in there and say, you boys know this is posted, so when you get through shooting this covey, go on out. And that was a, sort of a routine that we followed, you know. But you couldn't get away with that now, I know. Now, during the Civil War, you know, the war between the states, I like to say, Florida became the chief source of cattle after the fall of Vicksburg, 1863. And there was a battalion of drovers or drivers that were organized called the Cow Creek Seminoles. I'm sorry. Called the Cow Cavalry or the Cattle Guard. These were young men. One was only 12 years old. And some were older, too old to be part of the Confederate Army, really. And then there were some regulars that worked, and they drove cattle to the Confederate encampments and to the railheads. Madison had a large railhead where they collected cattle, and they would send them off to the Confederate troops. Baldwin had a large had large cattle pens, and they were brought there, and they would be sent off. Jacob Sumlin, the person I told you about, the King of the Crackers, he had a contract with the Confederacy, and he was supposed to provide 25,000 head of cattle, which he did, and which he said he never received a copper for that. The reason he never did was because he was paid in Confederate money, and by 1865, of course, Confederate money wasn't worth anything. The Confederate debt had been canceled. After the war, after the war between the states, it was estimated that there were still some 600,000 cattle in Florida, still a very large herd. And, excuse me a minute. I took an antihistamine early and I kind of dry throat. Anyway, we were able, of the cattlemen were able to establish some trade contacts in the West Indies, which actually had started before the war. Cuba bought a lot of cattle, and some were sent to the Bahamian Islands, and some were sent to Key West. Key West, of course, you can't grow cattle in Key West or the Keys, but they went all over the West Indies, and the chief export place was Punta Rasa, which is just outside of Fort Myers. And thanks to Butch Harrison and myself and a fellow named McCullum, we'll have a sign put up there where they were loaded some years ago. Those ranchers, those cowmen, were paid in Spanish gold. And that was really a shot in the arm for Florida, because we were going through the throes of the Civil War and Reconstruction, and most people were poor. This trade with the West Indies lasted really up until about 1918, the First World War, the end of the First World War. And Cuba, we don't have any trade with Cuba, but it's been, there are some, Bud Adams took some Brafords down there, and they seem to be interested in upgrading their cattle. When Castro came to power, he killed all the cattle and gave them to the peasants. That was one way he won their favor. But the good breeds were lost, but they're trying to build them back now, I hope, anyway. Well, what's happened to ranching in Florida? At one time, Florida was the fourth leading producer of cattle. But in Florida today, we are what you call a calf-cow operation. When calf has been weaned at 4 or 6 months. It's sent to the feedlots. This is the feedlots out west, Texas, Kansas, and so on. And then they might be brought back or sold at other places. But the number of cattle in Florida today is less than 2 million. And the state, each year, we lose a little land, and the cattle population goes down each year a little bit. It's sort of sad. I grew up with these people there in Orlando, used to hunt on their land. Sometimes I wasn't supposed to, but I used to hunt with the Partons. They let me on their land. And it's real sad to see what has happened. I want to read you one thing here that's in a magazine. Any of you familiar with this, the forum? It's put out by the Florida Humanities, and that's a great organization, by the way. There's some of Bud Adams's Brafers down at Fort Pierce. This is a quote from Ossian B. Hart, who used to be governor of Florida. He died while he was governor. And this is what he wrote. Cracker cowmen were larger than life, and they still are. Heroes who roamed the woods for weeks and months on end, camping in the wilderness, independent of spirit. They communicated a lust for life, a deep affection for Florida's natural environment. This was written back in the 19th century. Because many of them were content with their lives, however miserable they may have appeared to others. That's one of they used to be very careless with the Spanish gold that they got. They would throw it. Someone would put it in a bag and throw it in the corner. And it always been a mystery why they were so careless with the gold. People wouldn't steal gold. They'd steal cattle, but not gold. And but the average farmer, a yeoman farmer, or cracker, or cowman, he produced most of what he needed. And once in a while, he might buy some leather item or whatever, but he really didn't need the money. Land, you didn't buy land normally, but land, when you did, it was extremely cheap. Now, I'm supposed to get through here in 5 minutes, so sometimes we wonder about the mystique of the cowboy, the cowman. Why are they so special? They're an archetype in American literature. It used to be in American movies. I still watch Gunsmoke whenever I can pick it up. And but I wanted to read you something here, and this relates to a group of cowmen who are bringing cattle into Punta Rasa to be loaded on ships destined for Havana, Cuba. Let me read this. Long before we came in sight of the wharf, we could see the ruse of the upper works of a steamer, which proved to be the Guadarrama, awaiting a load of cattle for Cuba. About sunset, we came abreast of a great steamer. That was the same ship. It was painted black with stripes of red. This, in the rough jargon of the Spanish crew, made her seem just a little piratical, like pirates. On shore, there was bedlam of sounds, the bellowing of penned cattle, the cries of drovers, the barking of dogs, the cracking of whips, sometimes 18 feet in length, with a short handle. The cowboys were very expert in using and cracking it, and have acquired the sobriquet of crackers. That's where the word crackers, as it applies to Florida at least, probably came from, although the word itself goes back to Shakespeare. As night drew on, the noise increased. Bonfires and torches flared in the darkness. Bellowing herds came pouring in from the backwoods until at 9 o'clock, and 500 cattle were ready to be transferred to the steamer. From the cattle yard to the steamer extended a long and narrow passageway through which the cattle were driven. A dozen at a time were started. Then, with loud cries, blows, and the clatter of hooves of cattle and drivers, they came rushing down to the steamer. The process was continued until late at night. The men that drove those cattle, that hunted those cattle, that brought them there, those were the Florida Cracker Cowmen. And they loved the life they live. Let me just make this last statement. One carpetbagger, I guess you'd call him, who was down here, actually he came to help the Florida agriculture. But he said he had interviewed a number of these young boys, these cowmen or cowboys, and he said the only thing they wanted in life was a horse, a whip, and a dog so they could work cattle. And unless you've worked cattle, maybe you don't know what he's talking about. So I would suggest that you all get a cow or cows. And I've gone over my time. I'll be around here if anyone would like to me to share my ignorance with them. So thank you very much.